It's 5:30, so I'd like to call to order the July 2nd meeting of the Passaic County Planning and Zoning Commission. Roll call, please.
Peggy?
Here.
Hauser? Gast?
Here.
Murfo?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Struthers? Absent. Weigel? Absent.
Hey, thank you, Kristen. You have before you an agenda. Are there any additions or subtractions to the agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as it stands? Mm-hmm. Murfeld, and second by Kauser. Kruiser. I get that right one of these days. So, we're going to go with the agenda as it is. And we have the minutes were distributed earlier from our last meeting. Has everybody had a chance to read those? And is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Moved by Gast. Second by Miller. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the minutes are approved. At this time, we have a few minutes here for public comment, and this is for public comment specifically relating to P&Z stuff that's not on the agenda tonight. So if there's anything from the public, please step forward to the podium and give your name and address and what you have to say. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on from public comments or closed. Old business, we have no old business on the agenda for tonight, so we'll move immediately into new business. And with new business, first on the agenda here is AMD01-12, the Athens Amendment. And before we get started, I'd just kind of like to give you a little bit of a rundown here of how we'll work this. But we'll take a staff report, and we'll ask questions of the staff, and then we will have the applicant come forward and present his application. We'll ask questions of him, and then at that point we'll have time for public comments, questions, and whenever you do that, we'd like to have you step to the microphone and give your name and address and what you have to say or questions that you might have. I'm going to be pretty adamant about this, stepping to the microphone. Sometimes we get going and we get to going a little bit back and forth. So whenever you have a question or you'd like to continue the comment, please step to the microphone. And with that, Charlie, will you present the first case?
Good evening. As you mentioned, this is case AMD-0112. It's the Athens County Development Plan Amendment Request. It's County Development Plan Amendment Request. More particularly, it would be an Ames Urban Fringe Plan Amendment Request. However, the Ames Urban Fringe Plan is a component of the County Development Plan, so as is, we just call this a County Development Plan Amendment. Anyways, getting into the case, the applicant in this particular amendment case is Hunziker Land Development. The property is owned by the Athens Revocable Trust, general property location. The general property location and the size of the area, actually, you're going to notice that this differs just a tad from what we had mentioned in the staff report. On my own air, I omitted one particular tax parcel from the area. So you're going to see a difference of about 35 to 40 acres, I think, is what it is. The northernmost parcel, again, on my air, I omitted. So, again, there's going to be some difference in these numbers from what the staff report says. But generally, this is an area of land in Section 29 of Franklin Township. It's on the west side of G.W. Carver on the east side of Squaw Creek, beginning approximately 1/4 mile south of Cameron School Road and continuing for about 3/4 miles south. The size of the area is approximately 140 acres, currently is zoned A1 agricultural, and is currently assessed as agricultural as it is used for crop production ground. The city of Ames is the only city within 2 miles of this particular request. The map here will kind of give you a general location of the area. The yellow hash marks here show the area that we're looking at tonight. City of Ames here, kind of in the tannish areas. And again, on the SPO map that was on the SPO map that was mailed out, we had only included from pretty much where the north border of the city of Ames is here. Everything over to the south is all that we include on the map. And again, it's about another 35 to 40 acre parcel located up there that needs to be included in this as well. The current land use framework designation is priority transitional residential, which is a subcategory of the rural urban transition area, and there's also some environmentally sensitive area located on there, which is a subcategory of the natural areas. And the proposed land use framework map designation by the applicant is urban residential, which is a subcategory of the urban service areas. The amendment is being proposed by the applicant in order to have pretty much the sole purpose of it is to have the land annexed inside the city of Ames so it can take full advantage of municipal services, including utilities, EMS, and the like. Proposed use would fit into the rural and urban service land use class, which is the current classification, and the priority of a transitional residential land use designation. However, if it was developed in this designation, that would not allow for it to be annexed, and the development would have to be on the traditional rural services such as rural water, septic, and rural EMS. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan is oriented towards the growth of the city of Ames, and it is also a shared land use plan cooperatively developed by Boone County, Story County, the city of Ames, and the city of Gilbert, and each have some level of interest in how the land in the fringe area develops. As you know, Story County's first and foremost land use goal is the preservation of valuable farm ground while allowing enough land for growth in and around the edges of current municipal boundaries. And I'm sorry, this laptop's really slow. I'm going to try to think ahead and switch it so we don't have to wait too long, but I'll get with it here. While this land is currently being used as agricultural, the Ames Urban Fringe Plan does designate it for non-agricultural development. And again, the main issue being reviewed here is allowing this development to be done within the corporate limits of the city of Ames. The request is being proposed, would include changing the natural areas to urban service areas. The natural areas under this designation are mainly floodplain of Squaw Creek and does include some woodland with about a 7-8% slope. The natural areas do extend into areas with no known natural features, and those areas merely create a buffer of those known natural features. As staff noted in the staff report, there was nothing submitted as to why this designation should be removed. Because of that, it's staff's opinion that if the proposal is ultimately approved, the known natural areas shall be protected and unchanged. This map right here shows the current Ames Urban Fringe classification, this being the priority transitional residential, kind of that dark greenish, yellowish color right here, and the green being the natural areas. And you can kind of see the proposed amendment area here outlined in orange, so that gives kind of an idea of where the natural areas are and where the priority transitional residential areas are. Next map right here, I'll kind of show you how the floodplain matches up with those natural areas down here. You can see Squaw Creek kind of flowing right through here. Next map will kind of show you the elevations, and you can see how the elevation does have a drastic drop here in that wooded area that you can see around there. And again, this next map again will kind of match up those Ames Urban Fringe Plan boundaries with those areas. So again, you get an idea for what those natural areas are that are currently on the map. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan, at the time of its implementation, it placed enough land in the urban services areas to match a forecasted growth expectation up until year 2030. The urban services areas were meant to be the areas of the plan on top of providing enough land for future growth that were the most cost-effective to grow into. To fully understand if this area would be cost-effective area into which to grow, the City of Ames is looking at a few studies, one being the existing sanitary sewer line appears to be sufficient to serve the area for which it's designed, which is most of the North Ridge Heights subdivision located directly east of this site. At some point during the construction of North Ridge Heights, the developer placed the sanitary sewer extension under G.W. Carver with the hope that it could be used to serve the area west of G.W. Carver in the future. Again, that area west is the area that we're looking at tonight. However, there is concern that the sanitary sewer system downstream from North Ridge Heights is reaching its capacity and that no additional areas beyond the original design area should be served. At the developer's request, the city has installed flow meters to measure how much of the system is being used in order to better collaborate the model. the final report will determine whether the model predicts that there is an excess capacity or not, and if not, what changes to the system should be made to increase capacity to serve the proposed area. City of Ames is also concerned with emergency response time. City staff recently presented a report to the City Council about possible changes to emergency response criteria. Rather than a policy, the City Council will likely look to establish performance measures based on frequencies of calls. This approach may require the City Council to determine whether uses that typically have a high volume of calls should be placed along the perimeter of the city. Most of this information that I got right here actually was from the City of Ames, and just kind of in asking them what studies they have done up to this date. This is kind of a summary of the information we got back from them. Those studies, as we know, as of now, are ongoing and will undoubtedly be finalized when the city reviews this particular application. Going back to the adoption of the plan in 2005, since that time there has been one similar amendment application to this one. In that particular request, the Story County Board of Supervisors ultimately waived their review of the map change. However, they did place a time frame on which action needed to occur before the board could potentially revisit the request. At that time, the Board of Supervisors agreed that allowing the area to be annexed was probably a policy decision that was best done by the City of Ames, and that if Ames was comfortable in allowing growth into that area, that the county would have no objection. Obviously, that same decision could be made with this request. However, in that previous request, the City of Ames ultimately approved the change of nearly 400 acres of priority transitional residential land to urban residential, and subsequently has annexed nearly 200 acres of that area. That area, as well as this subject area, is considered to be in the north growth area of the City of Ames, and the Ames Urban Fringe Plan did not designate the north growth area as a high priority growth area. This area included about, that whole North Growth area did include about 650 acres of land, 400 of which has already been changed to urban residential. Because of that, it's staff's opinion that if this particular request would bring in the greater question of should that North Growth area, particularly those areas designated as priority transitional residential, should those areas be placed in urban service areas? If so, have growth projections increased enough to warrant this additional amount of land in the urban service area, or do we need to shift lands currently in the urban service areas into the rural urban transition area, more or less kind of doing a swap of lands? Again, if this request is ultimately approved, those questions should be looked into and answered in staff's opinion. Kind of show you a map here of what we're talking about with those numbers. You can see, again, those dark green areas here, all the way back up here, here's Ada Hidden Lake, Highway 69. These are the areas that were originally put into that priority transitional residential area in the north growth area of the City of Ames. To date, this area right here outlined in the blue, this area here outlined in the blue, those areas have already been changed over to urban service areas. So all that remains here is this area right here, and you can see the request that we're looking at tonight here that's outlined in the orange. If this land was changed to the urban service area, we're merely only leaving this, I don't know how many acres of land, approximately 200 acres of land, that would still be outside that area. So again, obviously, with the change over here and with this proposed down here, you know, there's some interest in maybe changing the north growth area to more urban service, high priority growth area, and if that's the case, we need to look back into this plan and see if there's other lands that we can shift out of that designation. With that, we've outlined five alternatives in the staff report. They're listed on the screen here above, and I know there was a lot in the staff report, so if there's any questions on that or anything in the presentation here, I would be happy to answer them at this time.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Charlie. Commissioners, what questions do we have?
Charlie, I've got one. He says at the beginning of the report that for Ames to annex the area that it needs to change from the priority transitional to the urban. Is that a policy in the way those different areas are laid out or described?
Yeah, it's not a matter of, it's not a legal matter by any means. It's merely a policy of the City of Ames with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. Furthermore, I know we had discussed that 2080 agreement that Story County, City of Gilbert, and City of Ames have all adopted as far as implementation of this plan. And in that agreement, it does outline that the City of Ames is only allowed to annex lands in the urban service area. So going against that would obviously be, they wouldn't be following that agreement necessarily, and that would be a problem. But like I said, it's merely policy on everything, according to the City of Ames, us as well. Nothing legal.
We're, as a board, we're familiar with usually seeing four options. And the, tonight there's five, and the first option is one that we usually don't see, and that is to waive review of the development plan and send it to the Board of Supervisors without review. Can you expand on that just a little bit, how that is an option?
I guess what that particular alternative suggests in the way that I tried to write it was that you would actually recommend to the board to waive review, not waive your review, but it, kind of the same thing anyways. And the reason we put this condition here again is because the previous amendment request that was very similar to this one, that was the path that was chosen. Not sure if that one came to the commission or not, the way, because at that time I don't think we had a process in place to actually handle these types of requests. But again, main reason that one is first, especially too, is because the president has already been set to do such an action. So,
so if the Board of Supervisors were to waive its review, then the land could still be annexed by the city, and the city would then make decisions as to what the land use should be. And the difference then between number one and number two is, which would also allow the land to be annexed and the development to occur, is that under one, we'd recommend the board waive the review, and the mm-hmm. other one, they would go ahead and perform a review, which would then lead to the annexation.
Yeah, and, you know, again, kind of when we wrote the staff report, two things that come to my mind real quick was, one, I don't think right now, and the way the City of Ames handles this particular request, the City of Ames has what they call a major amendment and a minor amendment. Minor amendment, pretty similar to the way we handle ours as far as process-wise. Major, however, completely different from how we handle ours, and that they actually have a lot more steps to the whole process to get through. So they, when they are doing all their studies and their final reports, they're anticipating that those reports, as far as the sanitary sewer, the fire, and all that stuff, they're anticipating those reports will be done by the time they take theirs to their Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council, which could be months from now. Right now, we, you know, we're bringing this forward. We don't have those studies, so it's kind of hard to say, you know, if you're going to make a decision based off those numbers or those reports, for example. We don't have those right now, so it's a little bit more difficult to know if it's the right way to go about it. And I lost the second one in my head real quick. But more or less, again, you know, by waiving it, again, it's a policy decision by the city. Ultimately, based off what we're able to tell in this request, is if the city were to approve this, the next step by the applicant would be petition to annex. So really, the time that the land would be in urban service area and still inside the county, you know, could be a couple months at most, but it doesn't seem like it would be too long. So the county's interest, as far, you know, from a rezoning standpoint, if it would ever come forward on that, really falls off, because again, once it's annexed, we don't have any land use authority in that area.
And yet the applicant chose to submit the request and pay the fees in order to proceed this way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Regarding your last question, that's a necessity, though, right?
Yeah, based off the way that we have the process up in that 2080 agreement, that, you know, we can't outright do any waiver like we did in the past with that other one, just go straight to the board and get them to waive it. They actually do have to come through this process and get a resolution from the county, either approve or deny, and the resolution could obviously waive it as well. So.
Thanks. Other questions, commissioners?
Can you go back to that original map?
The first one? Going to have to give me a little bit here. This
will take forever.
That is really slow. So. You're talking the first one that just kind of showed that the first one that just showed the area and the city and all that stuff. I think it's time for a new laptop.
That'll do. That one's good.
Okay, hold on.
So,
I'll go back to it. Anyways, go on.
Let's talk about that natural area and that you really advised that that remain protected. To me, that looks like over 50% of the property. And was
pretty
the developer's cool. intention to develop all that area?
And that would be a question that you probably want to ask him, but based on the conversations that we have, I don't think there was ever any intention on developing down, especially into the floodplain. I think, you know, from the talks that we did have, kind of some of the areas, especially you can't really see, there's some wooded areas around here where the elevations aren't too bad, and I think there was some intention of maybe grabbing in there and clearing some trees out to create more space in that area. Again, with the natural areas that were there, that's kind of was our intention, to just keep them as is. You know, they may be able to kind of shift it around a little bit because, again, when you look at this, you can kind of see the natural areas of the tree. If you kind of look at that point right there and then look at the next map, you'll see it kind of goes up a little bit further than there to kind of create a buffer of that. So, you know, that's the policy decision that the commission and the board can ultimately make if they want to look at maybe shifting that line right there. But first of all, the developing in the floodplain, and if it's ever inside the city, I don't know exactly what their regulations are, but, you know, developing the floodplain is usually pretty costly. And like I said, you know, it might not be worth it. So, again, I think, you know, asking let's ask the applicant, I guess, on some of those particular questions if they end up wanting to go down there. But like I said, from what we've been able to gather, I don't think that's the case.
Hey. Thank you, Charlie. I think we'll probably have you back up here again before this is over.
Is this map up?
Yes.
Thanks. At this time, would the applicant come forward and present your application? Give your name and address.
Yeah. Good evening. Chuck Winkleblatt, 105 South 16th Street. Okay. Our intention is not to develop anything down past the edge of the tree line. So all of that area that's considered in the flood plain, in the floodway, our intent, I guess, is to use it at some point in the future, but for walking trails and that kind of stuff. No structures. There's a lot of habitat and stuff. I guess not even paved walking paths. If you've been around Ada Hayden, what they call the outer loop, which is a kind of a millings of gravel, but still a pervious trail. I think that we'd like to take advantage of the scenery down there for the folks to walk into, but certainly not. It's in the floodway, prone to flooding. We have no interest in developing anything down there now or in the future. We have a potential customer that would take effectively from that line from west and extended south, which is about 17 to 18 acres, and they're planning a senior living facility. It has three different parts to it, each of which are approximately 32 to 38 beds. That starts off as an independent living, goes to assisted living, and then goes to skilled care. So that would be the bulk of. They have some additional land that they're requiring. They need about 10 acres to do that facility. It's a two-story facility. And then they wanted some additional land for the future, either to expand that possibly into some sort of Alzheimer's care or to do some traditional townhouses so that they could have, again, kind of a continuum of care, they say to us, where you start off where completely independent, stay outside of the facility, move inside the facility, but still be independent, assisted, and then skilled. The area that we're talking about from west and north, we would have other residential uses in mind. We have not mapped anything out, don't have any plans to show you. I can tell you they would not be high-density residential, and they would not be commercial. So other than that, we've had some townhouse projects over in Northridge Heights that we've completed our last units in, so we would likely do some expansion of that. We also have a couple of new products that we'd like to try and introduce into the market, and that, again, will be on the area that's up in here north of what would be Weston. As far as whether the area can maintain its natural status, we're fine with that. The only thing that there seems to be some discussion about is there an area needed to be on the other side of the tree line? Our intention, other than potentially a little bit up in there that has just that are just volunteer trees that have come up over time, that maybe, but we're talking about a very small area in a half an acre or so that might go back. Once you get to that ridge, it falls off, and it falls off severely. So there would not be opportunities, nor would we try to fill in or do anything in that area. So I guess all we would want to do as we go through this process is to identify and agree upon where the natural area is. Everything to the west of that, I'm okay with leaving the natural area. Some people have said, why are you even bothering with this area? Why don't you just leave it out in the county? I guess a couple of things. One, we need to have it, or would like to have it, as part of the subdivision, again, so that we can access it for the residents. The other thing would be that we can't leave a piece of land landlocked down there and not have a way to get out, access on a public right-of-way. To answer your question about the application process, this is a new process for all of us, and we're, I guess, working our way through it the best we can. So whether it's the timing or was appropriate or not, we were asked to submit an application through all three jurisdictions that have in this area, and we'd let it go through the process that way. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for the applicant?
If that senior living facility goes in, where would you access that from? From what?
Weston. The grade change at Harrison, in our belief, is too severe because it goes up there. So we're talking about having a road come in, and that also happens to be where the sanitary sewer is stubbed across, that it would go in, and then you would turn and come down into their facility. The facility that they're looking at would be on the southern end, so there would be a frontage road of sorts, and then, again, ours would filter up into the development to the north. But the first access point, I guess we feel, A, it helps that it's away from Harrison, away from the curve a little bit. As we did the Northridge Heights development, there was widening that was done to G.W. Carver in that to facilitate a higher level of traffic. They don't know for sure yet. The engineers are not far enough along into it, but they believe that there may be a need for some potential right turn lanes in there, but there's been some discussion about that, whether that's a good thing or not, because it acts as kind of a traffic calmer, and if you get those people out of the turn lanes, then you can continue to buzz on through there, which there are some concerns about traffic and the speed. But there have been, since this is developed along here, even though not to say that there aren't still some problems with speeding, but it starts to feel like you're more in town, and so that the violations anyways from the police department seem to be down. And if it developed on the other side, that would also help calm that traffic as it comes around. But by and large, the paving is such on G.W. Carver there that it may need to be restriped and ultimately a little bit of paving added on to the west side for turn lanes in, but that would likely be the only paving required.
You said your plan was for low-density residential. When you say low-density, do you mean in character similar to what is across the street to the east?
Yes.
Thank you.
The people get, for the senior housing, for the skilled care portion of that, in the city of Ames, they're required to have medium-density zoning. So there's been a lot of talk about, oh, you're going to put a bunch of apartments in there, but they don't qualify to go into a low density development, so the medium density is what's needed for them to be a permitted use within the city of Ames. They've already received their certificate of need from the state, so we're trying to work through this as expeditiously as possible.
Edge and so on, as you said, two-story and...
These are rough numbers. It's mid-30s. I think it's 38 is the only one that I'm pretty certain of is 38, and then the others are less than that, obviously. We get, it's 92 or 94 total, of which 38 are skilled, and then the others are the independent and assisted.
But ultimately, if this gets annexed, it's going to be the city that's going to determine all.
Right, and again, with the sewer study that they're working through and those type of things, they just aren't far enough along. But before, I can tell you that before the city gets too far, and we need to know it as well, whether the sewer capacity is. Initially, it was, we were, as the developers, we had to stub sewer out to here. And that was planned to drain that 155 acres that's up there. That now is not planned to go down through here. It's planned to go across and down the new sewer line that Ames is putting in for Grant. So that's 155 acres. This is about 75 acres of development ground. So we feel like if it could take 155 acres, it ought to be able to take 75.
Other questions?
Thank you.
That area is currently being farmed.
Correct.
And as stated earlier, Story County's priority one is to maintain current farm ground. What other options do you have? Is this your only option?
Are there other sites within the city of Ames currently? No. There was one, they had one option on the south side of Ames where they had, where there was a 10-acre piece of land, and they opted not for that because it was very close to Green Hills, and they're, I guess, a competitor of Green Hills and thought that they would prefer to be on the north end. In Ames, we've had a couple of things happen just to the south of here, across north of Somerset and west of our Taylor Glen subdivision, where the Heartland Baptist Church just bought 27 acres of land that may have been a suitable site, and they're keeping that for their own use. The city Ames School District has a 10 or 11 acre parcel in Somerset. However, I think the school hopes to sell that for single family housing to get more kids into the school system. And otherwise, there are no other parcels of land with suitable zoning within the Ames city limits where this is a possibility.
Follow through that you don't build the elderly community centers. Okay, what options? What are you going to do with the land?
I think our agreement is contingent upon, we probably won't go forward with the land if they're ready to go. And so we have an agreement with the property owners that we'll buy it, we'll do the development needed, turn that parcel of land over to them. We don't have a plan B, if you will. But at this point, for two or three months we were waiting on their, they were waiting, it was kind of the chicken or the egg thing, until they got their certificate of need, they couldn't, if they, obviously if they don't have that, then they can't go forward. So once they got that, they're a go if the land can be annexed. So I don't see it that if it's allowed to be annexed, that they want to go and they want to start now. We haven't talked about what would happen if they were no longer in the picture. Thank you.
Thank you. We may call you back up here later. So, at this time, it is time for public comments, and what I do is ask you to come forward, give your name, give your address, make any comments that are certainly pertinent to this situation that we're talking about right here, and I'd ask you to be concise and to the point. So. Pardon?
Did we get any written public comments?
Pardon? Yeah, we'll mention the letter, yeah. Okay, I'm going to give the last call for public comments here. Okay, the public session is closed, and we did have a letter. And Charlie, would you share that with us?
Well, and if you want, I guess I can read for it, but I know that I believe Kristen had emailed the letter to you once we had received it, and hopefully you had a chance to review it prior to the meeting. It'll obviously be included in the minute book and all that, but if you want, I could read through it. But I'll leave that to the commission to decide.
I think we all had a chance to read it. There was from a gentleman across the way.
Yeah, it was from James Allman is the name. Like I said, from 3329 Harrison Road in Ames. So.
Does he happen to be here tonight?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Anyway, it had to do with the access to Harrison Road, so. Okay. Thank you. Okay, with that, I guess we are open for discussion. We could go for motions here too, but.
I think that those five options
are. Oh, Charlie, could you put the five options up again, please?
While Charlie's doing that, may take a minute. The letter that we got raised four issues. One issue was traffic safety, another traffic density, another traffic noise, and then the last was urban water runoff. And I believe the presentation that we've had from the applicant tonight, the traffic safety issue was addressed in that the southernmost access to the development would be at Winston, and the traffic density and character part of the review responsibility of the city or the county would be to make sure that the traffic density and character is not an issue, and so that would be a normal review process. The traffic noise, I think the app developer had a good point in that as it develops on both sides of the street, the traffic will slow down because it will not feel like you're racing out of town into the country. You are traveling through town. So I think that will be resolved as development occurs. And the final issue was urban versus rural runoff, and as area develops, you will have a change in the runoff, but that again is part of the development review process to ensure that you minimize that impact. So I think he had good points, and based upon the presentation tonight, I've heard that most of this would be resolved.
Annexed into Ames, so won't those issues be, excuse me, Ames' problem?
Yes, and Ames will take care of them as part of the development process. I have no doubt about it.
Charlie, could I ask you a question, please? It just it all seemed like a catch-22 here when we were talking about giving it one kind of designation and then it couldn't be annexed into the city of Ames and stuff like that. Can you run through that just a little bit?
The current designation is priority transitional residential that is currently in place on there, and that does allow for residential development. In our opinion, if the applicant wanted to, they could pretty much go forward with the development right now. Although the only question we had was, do we have a zoning district in the county? Are a conditional use set up that would support a senior living facility? We're not 100% sure of that, but that doesn't mean that we can't create something. Nonetheless, priority transitional residential does allow for it to develop, but it does not allow for it to be annexed. The only way, from a policy standpoint, it can be annexed if it's in the urban services area, and that's ultimately, I believe the applicant's looking for is to have it annexed into the city. So that's kind of the impetus of the request. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of. I still feel like I'm in a catch-22 here. I'll just speak. With you, Nancy, I'm kind of going to consume some farmland. But I think that's going to happen along the fringes, and this is right on the fringe. It's right across the street, and it's adjoining. So if we're going to consume some land, I think it's best that it's there than instead of out. So I am in favor of this. I just don't know how it happens. And I do like the comments, but I think you've already addressed it. Mr. Michael Black is protecting the natural areas. So I just don't know how this best happens, but my recommendation would be that we go forward with this. No, I'm trying to figure out here again. This was this catch-22 thing here.
May I make a suggestion?
Hmm? Yeah.
I have a whole lot of concerns. I passed the farmland thing. Since we don't have a lot of concerns, then I would say number one. And to simply waive the review.
And if the purpose of the review, then we won't take a little more stuff in, and Ames is continuing to look at it.
I think Ames gets to be the major factor in this, the city of Ames.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
In the waiving the review, would we be recommending approval of a change in the designation? And waiving the review, because if you don't change the designation, then in theory you cannot annex it.
I think, again, how we handled this with the last one would be waiving is almost equal to just saying whatever Ames wants to do is what we want to do. I mean, it sounds kind of bad saying that, but realistically, again, it's a policy decision. When it comes to annexation of a city, it's merely a policy decision for that city. Obviously, the county has interest in it to some extent. There's different things that the county looks at upon annexations, but again, what we did with the last one when we waived our review was we more or less said, Ames, if you're comfortable with this, so are we. If you're not, then we understand.
But by making a proposal, we then have the opportunity to put in any sort of conditions like a land swap for urban versus transitional.
And with the last one, too, we stated, and I'm trying to remember exactly how that played out, but more or less that changing it to urban service area, again, in the last one, was mainly done so the city could annex the land. And I think we stated that we, gave them a time frame. I'm just going to say 6 months. I don't know if that was a time frame. But more or less, we said, if you approve this, within 6 months, it must be annexed. Otherwise, the county has to go back and change our maps to match what the city did at that point.
Okay.
because, again, you know, this could get, you know, caught up in the whole process where ultimately the city of Ames could say, yes, we approve this, and then for whatever reason it does not even come close to be an annex for 6 years, for example. I don't think that's going to happen, but the possibility is always there. And at that point, Story County would have a map that says priority transitional residential, while the city of Ames would have a map that says urban service area. Those two don't match up, so at some point we have to, you know, come to an agreement on those two maps. So, however, if it's annexed, it falls outside of the county development plan, which is the Ames Urban Fringe plan in this case, but it falls outside that and falls within the city's land use policy plan. Confusing, I know, but...
So recommendation number one leaves the current designation in place, waives review, which in essence signals Ames that the ball's in their court for approval, and then setting the time frame on it, whether it's 6 months or 9 months or 1 year or whatever, is something which the Board of Supervisors would make a decision on, or would we recommend on that?
The time frame? I think you have every right to recommend a time frame to them. I don't see any reason why you couldn't do that.
Sometimes these things take longer than people think.
Yeah,
I'm going to
check on something real quick. Based off the time frame we got from the City of Ames on this particular one, their initial workshop, well, they've had an open house and a workshop that have already taken place. Their planning and zoning review is on July 18th, city council review on July 24th. Then they have a planning and zoning public hearing on August 15th, a city council public hearing on August 28th, and final city council action on September 11th. So from today, what's that, almost 2 months from now is as soon as the Ames City Council would take action on it.
And at that time, they could annex it.
I think, you know, they'd make the map change at that point to say that, yes, it's urban service area, and that after that point, then the applicant come forward with an annexation petition. And I don't know the process from there, but...
I think 6 months is short. I do, yeah. I mean, there's like probably typically 3 readings. And
yeah, and honestly, Mr. Winkleblack could probably speak better on the annexation process with the City of Ames than we can, but I know sometimes, especially the City of Ames, sometimes these processes last a little bit longer than they do with some of our other cities, so.
Yes, allowing up to a year before having to start all over again does not adversely impact anyone. It just gives more time for deliberation if needed. Hopefully not. So, I would certainly make a recommendation if we're at that point.
Okay.
Make a motion that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends waiving review of the Atham County Development Plan put forth in this case with the condition that with annexation that the board considered the annexation take place within a year or the review would have to start over again and it go to the Board of Supervisors placed on the July 31st Board of Supervisors agenda.
All right, Krista. Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second for discussion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded, and seconded by Murphy. Further discussion.
My only question would be, is does this group want to address or direct any sort of land swap if the future growth is different than what the plan was, where the urban area isn't being used, the right urban area isn't being used, do we want to put some sort of a recommendation together on either the land swap or a review of the growth patterns to change the urban fringe plan to match where things are going? And that could be part of this or it could be something separate, but I guess that would be my question to the group.
I think I'd have to have more information to understand what I was the land for swapping and what.
Let's begin on my phone a little bit.
I think I'd need more information to be able to.
Briefly discussed in here, but we got it.
Oh, it was a comment from staff, is what it was. So,
my recollection on the way the Ames Urban Fringe plan was developed was it was over an extended period of time, and any of those map changes will come back to us for review and consideration, and to the City Planning and Building Commission. So if we did include that as part of the recommendation, we would see exactly what the city staff and county staff considered before it's put into place. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, if we were to do a land swap per se, before any act, I mean, when the action actually took place, we would be doing exactly what we're doing right now and discussing this, and it would be a full amendment. And real quick, I just want to mention, one of the main reasons I think we touched on that subject is because with the way the 2080 agreement is written, the county outright waives their subdivision review authority in the urban services area. We share it in that priority transitional area, and then the county takes sole subdivision authority in the rural areas that the city doesn't ever plan on growing in. With, you know, this adding of urban service area, we are, you know, more or less taking away land in which the county actually reviews subdivisions on. So, you know, and once we get to the board, I think that's going to be a concern of theirs too, as they're the ones that did enter into the 2080 agreement. But again, you're seeing more land being taken away in which the county has review authority on, and it sounds like, especially in some of these areas, the city of Ames may really never be growing into just because of some other issues. So it's worth looking at, I would say, but again, leave that up to you guys to discuss, and if you want to direct us to do that, we'd be more than willing to. So,
I think I would certainly include that as a friendly amendment and ask staff to also talk to the city and the Board of Supervisors to whether or not when these cases come forward, whether it is better to move forward with a recommendation, which we haven't done on two cases, or whether it is better to move forward with a waiver, and so that the applicant, the public, and we understand the process better, have some discussion on process.
What we've just talked about be part of the conditions? Because we already said with conditions, so that can be part of it.
Yes.
But do we have to state these conditions?
I believe the statement was made that that the staff review with the city a land swap, and there was something else there, wasn't there?
Just the long-term growth direction.
Oh, based upon long-term growth, whether or not more land was needed or just a land swap, right?
Does the motion need to be amended?
Probably does.
Could you state that concisely?
My question.
From the beginning?
Oh.
Read the whole thing?
No.
Or Steve needs to?
I'm willing to take it out of this particular recommendation, and we can make that a separate item, I feel. And that way we don't have to bottle up the process. So.
Okay.
So I'm willing to move forward with the original motion as it was stated.
Okay. I'm with you, I think, and with what Nancy said. I don't know that we know enough about this to put conditions on it. So, any other discussion? Okay, roll call on the motion.
Miller?
Aye.
Arfeld?
Aye.
Gass?
Aye.
Hauser?
Aye.
Biggie?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you for being here. We'll move on to item number two, and that is, I'm going to get these things on here. Charlie, I'll let you read it.
It's the first. This is AMD 02-112. It's the Oaks County Development Plan Amendment request. The applicant in this case, again, is Hunziker Land Development Company, property owner being the Oaks Development Group. It is located in Section 22 of Franklin Township at the southwest corner of U.S. Highway 69 and West 190th Street. Excuse me. Size of the parcel is a little over 40 acres. Current zoning in place on the property is A1 agricultural and I2 heavy industrial. And I just realized I did not include a map of where those two areas are. I'll try to show you kind of by the pointer on there. But the I2 area actually is just a very small area of the property. Anyways, current land use being taking place on it. It's a commercial use as it does contain a golf course. And both the City of Ames and the City of Gilbert are within 2 miles of this particular request. This again here, the area being looked at where the current Oaks Golf Course is, West 190th Street, U.S. Highway 69. You can see Ada Hayden Park here inside the City of Ames. That strip of I-2 land is just kind of this bottom corner piece that sticks out right there. Before Ada Hayden was Ada Hayden Park, it used to be a rock quarry, and I think that entire quarry was probably zoned I-2 heavy industrial. This was the only remnant piece that was not annexed into the City of Ames, and thus that left the I-2 zoning on that small piece. So historically it makes sense, but when you look at the map, it does look very odd. The current designation on place in the property is Parks and Recreation Area, which is a subcategory of the Rural Services and Agricultural Conservation Area. It also does include environmentally sensitive areas and is also located in the Gateway Protection Area and the Watershed Protection Area. Excuse me. The proposed land use framework map designation is Rural Residential, which is a subcategory of the Rural Services and Agricultural Conservation Area. And this one, what is ultimately being reviewed is if this area should be opened up for residential development or if it should be left in the park and recreation use. The Rural Service and Agricultural Conservation Areas does not allow, nor does it plan, for annexation inside the cities at any time of the plan, which is extend up to 2030. Development on this site, as being proposed and as currently is in place, would be done on the traditional rural services. The current land use designation was placed on this land with the implementation of the plan, more or less to mirror the current land use that was in place on the property. There is only one district other than the A1 zoning district that would conform to the proposed land use designation, which is rural residential, and that is the AR, Agricultural Residential Zoning District. And as the commission may know, that particular zoning district requires lot sizes at a minimum of 1 acre. So like the other one, this particular request does include changing the natural areas to the rural service and agricultural conservation areas. That natural area, and I'll show it on a map here in a second, it's on approximately the south 300 feet of this property. And based off what we're able to gather, it was meant to serve as a buffer between Ada Hayden Park and the subject property. Again, this request also does include land located in the Gateway Protection Area and the Watershed Protection Area. The Gateway Protection Area is designated around the larger transportation corridors at the entrance of the City of Ames. The Watershed Protection Area applies to the watershed area of Ada Hayden Lake. And as there was nothing submitted as to why these designations should remove, again, staff's opinion on this would be that they, if the request is ultimately approved, those designations be protected and unchanged. With this area's adjacency to the Ada Hayden Park, a great deal of emphasis should be placed on the protection of the park from surface and groundwater pollution and contamination, as well as other nuisances which would take away from the park's value. Furthermore, staff did note that there is a stream that runs through the property's northeast corner. That particular stream does empty into the South Skunk River southeast of the southeast of the property, approximately 1 mile downstream. The stream is surrounded by floodplain on the property. It includes a little bit more than 2 acres, which the Ames River Fringe Plan did attempt to protect from development by using a land designation of environmentally sensitive areas. At the time of the implementation of this plan, the entire property, again, was placed in the Parks and Recreation Area, and it was not figured the floodplain area around the stream would be open to development, as the Parks and Recreation Area does not allow for development. Staff would recommend to continue to protect the stream and subsequent floodplain. It may be necessary to place the land use designation of environmentally sensitive area over the area of this property, which is located inside the floodplain. And I'll kind of show you here. This is the natural area. I was talking about that about 300-foot buffer. That buffers the lake right here. The Parks and Recreation Area in this really dark green. The Ada Hayden Watershed Protection Area is that kind of red dotted line that cuts through the property right there and everything to the south. And then the Gateway Protection Area is kind of this pink / purple circle right here, and you can see how that includes the entire property. As far as the natural areas that I was talking about kind of in the northeast corner, I'll show you another map here that will show you how that floodplain goes to the property. But you can see the stream kind of comes down here, goes into the property right here, and exits at this point. And these green areas right here are the natural areas on surrounding properties. You can kind of see how that was omitted on this particular property just because it was put in the Parks and Recreation Area. This map here shows the elevations on the property. You can kind of see how the elevations, kind of the cutoff line is almost right here. This area kind of drains to the north-northeast. This area right here kind of drains down to the south-southwest. And if you go back to the previous map, if you kind of see where that line is right there, you can kind of see that line matches up with that watershed protection area line. Next map, I believe, shows the floodplain, and again, this will show the floodplain on the property. And again, the property being requested is outlined in the orange here, so again, you can kind of see how I said on that extreme northeast corner of the property does include some floodplain. With that, the alternative that we have recommended to the commissioner on the screen here above, there's only 4 this time, we did not put a waiving on there at all, as ultimately if this was approved it would fall completely under the jurisdiction of the county. So with that, if there's any questions on the presentation or the staff report, I'd be happy to answer them.
Commissioners, who has questions of Charla?
Who currently owns the golf course?
It's under the ownership of the Oaks Development, and I believe actually Chuck might be the owner of it. No, it's just kind of under an LLC under his name, but I could have him probably discuss that a little bit more clear.
Other questions? Okay. We reserve the right to call you back. Thanks, Charlie. And would the representative of the applicant please come forward and present the application?
Good evening, still Chuck Winkleblack at 105 South 16th Street. Charlie, can we go back to the map that had the 2 rings around it, if you will? I do. Great. Our intention is to develop this into large estate type lots with the protection of Ada Hayden being at the forefront. We had a lot of discussion, or I did, with folks around. And Charlie, the thing that I submitted, the map, is that, do you have that electronically or not? Yeah. If not, I can just hand one around so that. I mean, do you have an electronic?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Is that right if I... What we're proposing, in my opinion, will leave 99% of the golf course in its current state. What we're proposing is four building lots, two of which are in the Ada Hayden watershed, the other two are not. So all of this currently is turf grass. We use a fair amount of chemicals in the golf course operation. We have been, however, phosphorus-free for a few years, but nonetheless, we still use insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, that it's our belief will be greatly reduced in a residential setting over a commercial operation that we have now. My concern when I hear about that is this natural area down here. When I look through the city's conservation regulations and others, I can't find any that require more than a 100-foot strip as a buffer strip. From the point of the water to that point right there is already 600 feet. And so I'm not sure why we need to worry about having another 300 to 600 feet when we already have multiples of grass that's there. The entire area that's in here that we're talking about is 23 acres. I mean, the watershed for the Ada Hayden is thousands of acres. And so to say that my 23 acres is going to be able to, that at this point is almost 100% pervious, is when it rains, could create enough of a rush to go down here and then cross 600 feet and get into the quarry. I think it's not only improbable, I would guess it would be impossible. So again, we believe that our design is with the intent of stabilizing so that there's no question about what Ada Hayden's going to be in the future. The grass will most likely be mowed less than it currently is. There will likely be native plants and grasses introduced into some of the areas versus having everything mowed and mowed a couple times a week. So we believe that we're making a lot of efforts to protect Ada Hayden. If you look at, and again, I have some other pictures, but I forgot that you don't have the Elmo where I can put them up and show you. But if you look at the south end of Ada Hayden down there, I took an equivalent area of the land that's developed, and in the same area, there's 80 houses. And so I don't feel like having in the other one that I'm proposing is a house. If you look at that map, it sets up about right there, and the other one would be right there. So that those two houses in that area could have anywhere near the impact of having 80 and then many more to the south. Again, I think it's important to note that what we're looking at here, the entire area that we're talking about, the road that will come in off West 190th, will come and be a cul-de-sac here. There won't be any ground disturbed here other than the driveway that will be leading back to this house and leading down to that house. One of the things that we have out here that people that have talked to me about purchasing is they love the trees and they love the terrain. So grading will be done at an absolute bare minimum or a necessity. So there won't be runoff. There won't be things getting into Ada Hayden because what little grading that we do happens back here. We are very conscious of the amenity that Ada Hayden Park is. What I don't want to do is give up. Again, when you look at the terrain, there's not that many places along the south that there can be a good place for a building. And so I guess I'm trying to preserve that one spot there. And if you go from there down to the water, it gets to be almost 3 football fields away. So having one house that's almost 1,000 feet away, it seems hard to believe that that could cause any damage to Ada Hayden. We're convinced that it's going to be a net gain in water quality by, we'll put in by restrictive covenant that phosphorus chemicals will not be able to be used. We have already agreed. I'm trying to answer the questions that people have asked up front, saying we will agree not to allow the lots to be subdivided further into the future so that they can't come up and then somebody say, well, we'll get this and then we'll do it and we'll keep chopping the thing up until we get to the ultimate number. So we're agreeing to some of the things up front. And then your question regarding the creek to the north, obviously that's in a floodplain. The only thing that I would ask is that we be allowed to continue. There's a small residence there that we'd like to continue to use, but as far as not allowing future development or something would happen to that, I'd be okay on the restriction as long as the people that live there don't have to move out. It's been there for 40 or 50 years. There's a little apartment in the north part of it, and then we use the south part as our pro shop. We would likely just expand it to where, you know, the people that could use, that live upstairs could use what is one big open room for a living room or family room. As far as the process goes, and I think that's what we know we were talking about before, we started this process 7 or 8 years ago when we worked on a way to simplify how the county and the cities interact with each other. And right now I'm not sure anybody knows what we're doing, but the intent was the case that we just talked about previously was that the city of Ames agreed to the land use change, then Story County would not be involved in the development process. Similarly here, if both parties agree to the land use change, then the city of Ames will not be involved in the development process, and that'll be something that we work through with the county. So I think if we can get the land use thing figured out, how we interact with each other, the development process will go much smoother, because when you talked about getting through in September, if to the previous case, if it gets approved in September, then the whole process starts over again, annexation, zoning, platting, but at that point then it only goes through the city of Ames. If this parcel gets the land use done, then we have to start the whole process over again, and Charlie and I worked through that timeline, but then it doesn't involve the city of Ames. So we're not the ping pong ball going back and forth, well, Ames approved it, nope, you have to get their approval, oh, what's Story County say? And that was what we were hoping for all of our sakes, for all the staffs and all the commissions. So that's where we're headed, hopefully. So in conclusion, we'd like to make the change, and the only thing that I would ask for is that that area not have the restriction on it by the platting that's proposed. It's going to amount to one house sitting about right there. If there's ways to, we can, I mean, it's only going to be one lot, so if you're concerned about where the house is, or if you want, that's the most logical place, and if you're out there looking at it, it makes a lot more sense. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
What questions do we have, commissioners? I do have a question, just because I play the Oaks once in a while. So the one, the house that you're talking about, is it sitting kind of down below number one green, number two T, somewhere in there?
Which house?
Which? I guess it would be the one that you would put to the east.
Where you pay your green fees when you come in. No, so you're hoping you're paying.
I'm sorry, on the you've got this one right here. You pointed down on the berm area.
On the southeast? That one would be like in there, but it's on top of the hill.
On top of the hill.
And if you look around, if you kind of take that line across there, it falls from there down to that road probably 50 feet, 40 to 50 feet. So the intent would be to stay not into the slope, but back up, but somewhere in that general area. So the bulk of this land, and maybe that's something that we look at doing, is we draw a line across here or something, and say, because there again, that's not something that we're intending on using, but again, even if you look down here, that's farther than any buffer strip that I've ever seen. This is already all stabilized as ground, so is that.
You mentioned the covenants. I don't know, will there be covenants? You said no phosphorus type stuff.
We do with all our new subdivisions have restricted covenants, which are covenants that are imposed in addition to the ordinances, and we do that from for everyone's protection. Not required by law, but in any subdivision we do, we put those on there, feel like it benefits everyone.
And one last question, and I'll calm down here. Just runoff and stuff like that. Any plans for runoff, or is this all kind of naturally the way it is right now?
Again, there's no impervious area out there. It soaks in. You know, again, when you have what's in the Ada Hayden watershed is 23 acres, and a lot of it, you know, as we had hard rains and stuff, which obviously we've had over the past few years, it can't get over, it's got to go across the road and go 2 football fields. Well, A, when it's soaking in, anything that would be coming down there, I can't imagine. And again, if it did, it's surface water. It's not. And the surface water, as it's coming, will have far less chemicals in it than it does today. Then if something's running in there now, it's got a lot more stuff in it than it's going to have in the future.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions?
It's your understanding that with the map plan designation of a natural area, that would restrict you from all development within that area so that you could not put
yes.
a house in there? Okay.
So that's true, isn't it, Charlie?
Yeah, it was disallowed from any subdivision.
Nancy or Nancy?
Tell me about this poor golf course and why it isn't surviving.
Golf course, golf numbers in general, it's my belief, continue to drop nationwide. When you look at, we're landlocked here. When you look at, since we bought the course 13 years ago, Ames has added Coldwater, Boone's added 2 golf courses, TCI's been built, the Harvester's been built. There's more bodies than there are people to play. And the average woman plays 3 times and quits. They figure if they're going to spend 5 or 6 hours, it's not going to be chasing a little white ball around out in the... That's from the USGA. That's a little thing that they...
What about the septic system? Each house will have a private...
Yes. I mean, there'll be brand new systems. I mean, a septic system in and of itself is not a bad thing if it's functioning properly. One of the other things that we've done is we've required in, like, our Cameron Pine subdivision, we required that, again, through a covenant, that the systems be inspected every 5 years, which is, you know, more than most get. But a septic system in and of itself is... not a bad thing. And again, when you look at Ada Hayden, takes all the runoff from North Grand Mall, to say that one septic system that far away, when we're draining most of Ames and then all the farm fields that it gets coming from the north and west, that I'm not saying it's not important to have a proper septic system, but in the overall scheme of things.
Lot will have its own septic system?
Yes. There'll be 4 of them out there. 2 of them are in the watershed. 2 of them are not.
Okay. Is it your intent to remain in the county as opposed to being annexed into Ames?
Absolutely. Well, Ames won't provide water and sewer, number one. And B, it wouldn't meet the Ames density requirement. Probably second of all, and there's a certain segment that
just would like to remain out in the county and not be encumbered by the city of Ames. And I'll just leave it at that.
Other questions of Mr. Winkleblack?
You had no concern about designating a little strip on the north as that's in the floodplain as environmentally sensitive on the plan?
As long as it doesn't, again, make my people that live there have to move out. And I don't know the answer to that. But we don't want to redevelop it. We're not trying to, if you want to restrict what happens to it in the future, or that say we can't build a brand new house or something down there, but I do have a little structure there that I'd like to keep. But other than that, no, it's all in the floodway. We wanted to, a couple years ago, we wanted to change one of our cart sheds, and they said, no, you can't do it because it's in the floodway, and so we just stopped. But I'm okay with that.
And the other thing the staff brought up was that the map for the Ada Hayden area did not have that little pink line extended through the property, and I believe Charlie said that that would be something that if we did the change, that would be one of the things that for map cleanup that would be done. You have that Ada Hayden.
So you're talking about those circular areas right up there?
Yeah.
The request itself didn't request that. It just requested to change it to the rural residential. I'm not sure.
And if that occurs, then that little pink area around Ada Hayden would then extend through that area? Would not extend? What?
You mean,
what is the purpose of that?
You're talking this one right here.
Yeah.
That's the Ada Hayden watershed area. And again, if you look at the entire map itself, you're going to see kind of around the north edge of Ames, just kind of a half circle more or less, obviously encompassing way more area than I'm showing you on the map here above.
Right.
So having that go away, I mean, if that were to leave the plan, then obviously you'd see that dotted line just kind of follow the property boundaries instead of kind of that circle that matches up with the change in elevation. Yeah, the watershed itself wouldn't change, but on the map itself it could change. And that's why, more or less, we're recommending just don't mess with those ones at all, because even the other one, the gateway protection area, is just almost a full circle around that, and you can't really take a pie piece out of there and make it even look like it makes sense.
By not acting on either the gateway area or on the Ada Hayden protection boundary area, by not mentioning that at all in the recommendation, those then remain.
Yeah, and I would think they would, just unless there was some sort of, yeah, if you don't mention them, you could mention them in the motion more or less to say leave them unchanged, but if you don't, I would think that we would probably keep them unchanged. I'm not 100% sure that's the point of the request. The request was kind of, it generally...
I understand that that was not part of the request. When we're trying to clean up the map so that it understood what the map says,
yeah,
then do we not mention it? Or
well, and I think for a safety concern, just to make sure that's the case, maybe mention that we're leaving these unchanged. That's probably the best thing to do. Sorry, I wasn't really following you at first there, but I get what you're saying now. I apologize.
So, Charlie, for the amendment request, this is just changing the designation of the land, and then there would be a minor subdivision application after that is done where most of these issues could be addressed at that point?
Yeah, definitely. And even there's going to be a rezoning as well, so.
Yeah.
Because it's all, so yeah. So
really, this is just the very first step in the
process. Yeah, if this is approved by all three entities, this is step one of three that you'll see. So... if you approve it, warm up to it.
Okay, further questions? Okay, at this point, it is time for public comment. So anybody out there that would like to have any comments or questions about this particular project, please step forward, give your name and address.
Evening, my name is Jim Weaver. I live at 5904 Alta Vista Road. Question, are these going to be horse property? No. Okay, that takes care of one real fast. Okay. Where is the, for that little building up there that's got the apartment, where's the septic system for it?
Chuck, would you step forward to the microphone and answer these, please?
I guess we're both going to be up here.
Yeah.
The septic system used to be between the clubhouse and the Moose Lodge.
Okay. So
and it's
kind of about it. Man.
Well, no, it was on the, as the creek goes, it was on what I call the northeast side of the creek. When it failed, we had to replace it and get it out of the floodway. So it's back up in here, and it will remain there by easement.
Okay. And it is currently approved by the county?
Sure.
Cancer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is the moose remaining?
Yes.
Okay. So they have their own septic system inside that little...
No. We share the system with the moose.
Ah, got it.
We come in, the moose comes out to a common tank, and in our building, they both feed into a little tank, and then its pressurized pump comes up here to where it's out of the flood plain.
You've got a lift station.
Right.
There,
mm-hmm.
Do you have a map that actually shows approximately where the four houses mm-hmm. would be? Do you have digital?
We don't.
So there's the access point would be just to the west of the moose.
It
would come in, and then there's a little pond there now.
Yep.
And then so there'd be a house there, a house down. If you're familiar with the golf course, it's by where the seventh green
track is. I don't play golf, but it's the one at
right.
the top of the hill, right?
Right.
There's a green right there.
Yep.
This going to be asphalt or concrete?
Probably asphalt.
And there, and then these will be whatever they...
Those are just driveway width.
Right.
The road will stop there, and so that'll be built to county standards, and then those driveways will be whatever the homeowner wishes them to be.
Curb and gutter on this?
No.
No. Okay.
There's no reason to have curb and gutter because there's no collection
there's
system.
There's no storm sewer in the area. That's all the questions I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Weaver. Anybody else? We're good. Thanks. Okay. Nobody else? We'll close public comment. And with that, discussion among the group here. Who's going to speak first, huh?
I'm ready to make a motion for discussion purposes.
Okay.
Anyway. It'll be number two, that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the Oak County Development Plan put forth in AMD 0212 with two conditions, and that the two conditions are the ones that we discussed, that the floodplain be designated as environmental sensitive area and the line designating Ada Hayden protection be extended on the development map, and that the case go to the Board of Supervisors for the July 31st, 2012 agenda.
Okay, motion by Gast. Is there a second? Second by Miller. Further discussion?
Well, when you say extend the protection area, you mean, what do you mean exactly?
That the two ends of the line be connected to the property at the ridge line within the development so that it shows the area that is within the Ada Hayden drainage area as opposed to following the boundary of the property, which would be a misrepresentation of the amount of area that drains into Ada Hayden.
Are you saying you can build that house on the hill or not?
Yeah.
Like he said. Sorry. I was just clarifying that wouldn't change where you could put that one house. That that's what you were trying to encourage, not discourage.
Yes. The green area to the south would go away. The Ada Hayden, the line that shows the Ada Hayden protection area would extend, and if there are regulations that deal with treatment of the septic and everything else to help protect that area, at least the land that drains toward Ada Hayden all be treated the same as opposed to playing around with the line. And then the floodplain area be shown as environmentally sensitive, which is what it is. So making sure that the map represents a consistent reality.
Clarifying.
Well, and I just wanted some more clarification on that, too. When you say extend the line, I mean, the line right here already runs through the property, so I guess what...
I can't tell that it does from here.
Oh, well, yeah, you see this line right here, and it comes down here as well. It kind of follows that line right there.
So it's already there.
Yeah, can you see it there now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
No movement. I just want to make sure that that line is not moving with this change.
Yeah. Okay.
I
think that probably clears up the confusion from before then.
So, Charlie, if there hadn't been a golf course when those were drawn in as part of the fringe plan, would it have been two different colors across the property?
You're talking this color and this color right here?
Yes.
I tried to find some stuff kind of exactly where this area came from. And I don't know if you have a copy of the application at all that the applicant submitted. If you look at actually how the parcel lines, this is three different parcels, and there's a parcel line right here and everything to the north, which kind of includes this park and recreation area, and then there's a parcel line right about here as well. So it's kind of like these southern two parcels right here. For whatever reason, that's where they drew that line at for those natural areas. Now, I don't know the direct reason behind that other than it just matched the parcel line at the time.
And it was before that whole park was developed anyway, wasn't it?
Ada Hayden? Well, I don't really recall that stuff. I mean, I don't even know if I was here when Ada Hayden in particular was developing, but this land use framework map, I would imagine initially came out probably early 2000s when we were working through 2004 was in the first redemption. I believe Ada Hayden would have been there by then. So,
but there, the previous map may have had a natural resource area in that area also.
Yeah, could have.
And so it may have been a continuation from an earlier map.
Yeah.
Just as the industrial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. So, but and then just to clarify that on the motion too, the motion is to change this whole area to rural residential into.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure on that.
So after that discussion, are you going to drop that second condition about extending the line?
Since the line doesn't need to be extended, it certainly could be dropped. Yes.
We have the. Move in second for item number two with the condition of the floodplain designated in there. Any other discussion? I think it's a good project. I think it'd be good to go ahead with it. Okay, no other discussion. Roll call, please.
Marcel?
Aye.
Gaff?
Aye.
Arthur? Aye. Biggie?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you all for being here. Yeah, now on to item number three. I'm prepared for it this time. CUP02-12, Jensen Conditional Use Permit for a golf course south of Ames. Charlie?
Uh,
Okay, as you had mentioned, this is CUP 0212. It's the Jensen Conditional Use Permit Request. The proposed use, or the proposed conditional use, is a golf course. The applicant and property owner is Dixon and Luann Jensen. General proper location, it's in Section 23 of Washington Township. It's located at 3935 South U.S. Highway 69, and it's on the northwest corner of South U.S. Highway 69 in Timber Creek Drive. Size of the property is approximately 20 acres, current zoning A1 agricultural. The current land use, it is classified as an agricultural use as it contains an agricultural crop production ground as well as a farmstead. The Andrew Fringe Plan, which is a component of the Surrey County Development Plan, does designate the property as agricultural and farm services with some environmentally sensitive land. One thing that was not included in the staff report that I'm going to include here is that the entire property is located within the airport protection area for the Ames Municipal Airport. And obviously, cities within 2 miles would just include Ames. Property map here will show the proposed area. You see Timber Creek Drive here, South U.S. Highway 69. You can see the City of Ames kind of here in the tan. This is actually the land for the City of Ames Airport, so that kind of gives you an idea of how close the airport is to this property. The applicants in this case are proposing what they call a golf performance center. While the layout, as we had mentioned in the staff report, while the layout is not your traditional golf course, staff does feel that the applicant's plan does fall within the definition of a golf course. It's listed there on the screen above. I won't read it again. It's in your staff report as well. Nonetheless, the proposal does include 12 green slash holes with various tee box, fairways, and hazards for practicing the game of golf. There will be one building associated with the site that will have locker rooms, video camera equipment, as well as a shelter for golfers for driving practice. The proposal is meant to be private in nature. However, the applicant will allow the Iowa State University men's and women's varsity golf teams exclusive access to the site. And the application did note that the State of Iowa Board of Regents has approved Iowa State University entering into a long-term, year-round lease agreement with the applicant for use of the proposed facility. Going through some of the findings of facts, first of all, the subject area contains a little over 2,000 square foot single-family dwelling, which was built in year 1952. As you're well aware, Stony County first adopted zoning ordinance on 1958. The subject property has been in the A1 zoning district since that date. The first zoning ordinance that was adopted allowed golf courses as a permitted use in the A1 district. However, in an amendment that was made to the zoning ordinances in 1977 that did add a chapter for conditional uses, and at that point golf courses were a listed conditional use. We mentioned that what the Ames Urban Fringe Plan designation is. The applicant did attend a conceptual review meeting on June 13th of this year. Subsequently, an application form was submitted on June 15th of this year. I won't go through the rest of it. Those are all in the staff report, just some general stuff that we always include with these proposals. When the Board of Adjustment ultimately reviews this upon recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, these are the areas that are looked at: compatibility, transition, traffic, parking and loading, signs and lighting, and environmental protection. Right, if the Commission ultimately concludes that all of those development criteria will be met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that, if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability that development will do any of those five listed there on the screen above. And again, as usual, the burden persuasion for such an application is on the interest of the applicant. As we had mentioned, approximately two-thirds of the land surrounding this site are in agricultural use. While that number shows the majority of the land surrounding the property being in agricultural use, that number would be considered low when compared to most of Surrey County's unincorporated area. The site's north and west sides are about 1/4 mile from the City of Ames. Areas this close to Ames typically do have a greater amount of non-agricultural uses. There are 7 estate lots directly to the south and southwest of this site, as well as 3 rural residential lots to the southeast. The land development regulations do allow for golf courses as conditional use in the A1 district. The concept plan that was included by the applicant shows a mowed brim pond native plant area and a native plant area on the site's south side. It includes trees on the west side, a native berm on the north side, and a parking lot and structure that will have a rural appearance and is intended to look like a barn, and that will be on the east side. These factors would provide a buffer for suitable transition between surrounding uses and property. There is an ingress-egress point that is currently established and is provided through an existing 35-foot wide driveway off of South US Highway 69. According to 2011 AADT numbers, this area of US Highway 69 has a traffic count of approximately 7,100 vehicles per day. Application materials submitted show that the total potential daily users from the golf programs are approximately 22, and the concept plan submitted shows a parking lot with 17 available parking spaces. Our regulations for golf courses allow for a maximum of 3 spaces for every golf hole, plus 1 space for every 200 square feet of enclosed area. Staff would estimate that the proposed building is around 3,000 square feet, which would allow 15 parking spaces. And the 12 holes will allow for an additional 36 parking spaces for a total maximum allowed of 51. According to the applicant, minimum signage and lighting is expected with this proposal. However, if signage was used, up to 32 square feet of external signage is allowed, and that cannot exceed 20 feet in height. The area cannot be illuminated by definition, or excuse me, the sign cannot be illuminated, and unlimited internal signage is allowed. By definition, and we go back to that definition of a golf course, the golf course is not allowed to be illuminated. As the staff report mentioned, this property is within the South Skunk River watershed. There is a creek that enters the property in the south portion of the west side of the property, and that creek flows into a small pond located at the southwest corner of the property. The property does not contain any floodplain. The site has a change of elevation of approximately 20 feet. Its lowest point of the site is being located where that pond is on, and the site's highest point is located towards the southeast corner of the property. The map here kind of shows you where that elevation is. Again, that pond that I showed you where that stream enters in, empties down into this area. That's the lowest point of the property, the highest point of the property being approximately where that house is located right there. Recommendations on the application. When we do present these to commission, the application shall be accompanied by a report, which was included in the planning from the planning staff, setting forth findings and any recommendations for requirements or conditions to be proposed on the proposed development for the Board of Adjustment. We did have one recommendation, and this just in lies with the airport protection area of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. That recommendation would be simply that any development application for this property shall be accompanied by an FAA, and as they call it, it's a determination of no hazard to air navigation. More or less what that would determine is that any structures they're placing on there are not going to be with, or they won't be a hazard to any of the air navigation coming into the Ames Airport. This map again kind of shows you here where that airport protection area is. This is the kind of blue outline area. It goes all the way down here. You can see where the property is located on the Ames Airport right here, and you can kind of see somewhat in approach or in line with that approach to that runway right there. So with that, your conditions are listed on the screen there above, and if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Charlie. Commissioners, what questions do we have?
Why does it go to the Board of Adjustment?
These all conditional use permits are ultimately, they have to be approved by the Board of Adjustment. The Planning and Zoning Commission is merely providing a recommendation on the application to the Board of Adjustment.
The
supervisors? Nope. Nope, they don't take any action on conditional uses. It's kind of outlined in state code to be that way. So we're just following the law.
Well, what if we said no? What are the options that they have?
The Board of Adjustment, again, you're just providing a recommendation, so they could accept your recommendation and deny it as well, or they could acknowledge your recommendation and approve it regardless of you recommending denial. And that's the same for pretty much every case with the rezonings, with even the last two applications that we had. You know, technically the Board of Supervisors could go against your recommendation. So.
Very no questions of Charlie. Thank you. We have representatives of the applicant here. Would you like to step forward and present your case, please? Name and address.
I'm an attorney and a non-golfer with the Nye Master Law Firm at 1416 Buckeye Avenue. I'm here tonight with the applicant, Mr. Dixon Jensen, regarding his request that you approve the conditional use permit application for some land south of town here. I think the staff court report goes through this process and their recommendation of approval fairly thoroughly, so I don't intend to take up a lot of your time as it relates to this, but I do want you to understand that the process for us has been we did participate in a conceptual review process in June, and we're grateful to you for allowing us to be on your agenda tonight. We thank you for your service, and we thank you for that opportunity as well. At the time that we went through the conceptual review process, all the county departments were invited to that meeting, and I think it's fair to say that coming out of that meeting that no concerns were raised with us at that time. The City of Ames was also invited to that meeting, and you can see from both the report and the conceptual review comments that they had no concerns about this project either. We're asking for your approval. We think that this is a top-notch project, quite frankly, a state-of-the-art project, if there is such a thing as it relates to a golf practice facility. We want you to know that this is the exclusive lessee of this property will be Iowa State University under a long-term lease. I do have the applicant here who is a golfer and who would be much better at talking about the development itself if you had specific questions about that. But we think this is an exciting thing, and we really ask that you make a recommendation to the Board of Adjustment consistent with point number one under Charlie's recommended action.
What questions do we have of Ms. Fielmeyer?
I thought I'd ask the Ames question again. Is this going to be annexed into Ames? This is going to remain county. Okay.
It is within 2 miles. The City of Ames has waived its review authority over this area.
I do have one question, and it had to do with the illumination. Mm-hmm. And I know when they built the practice huts there at Vinker, there was a big uproar about all the lighting and stuff at night. I hear no illumination. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think that Mr. Jensen probably would be better to answer that. But as we've talked about, you know, this area is in an area around several fairly large, I think you'd call them estate-sized lots. Mr. Jensen is one of the owners of those lots, and certainly he's got some sensitivity to the illumination. The only illumination that I can imagine, and we'll comply with whatever requirements there are of the permit, but by the same token, I think that, you know, safety-wise, that there probably needs to be some illumination on the building, but I don't expect that that's going to violate any of your regulations.
What I was referring to is largely the large floodlights went out. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Again, thanks so much for your time and for your service.
Thank you. Any comments from the public regarding this topic? If so, please step forward and give your name and address. Okay, seeing none, it's time for discussion and motion. I know, I'll just...
Well, we did have a recommendation from staff that there be a condition added on that the development plan include FAA designation of no hazard, which is an ordinance requirement anyway, but it just helps put public notice that they have to go through that step. number two with. I would certainly second number two with the.
I make it number two.
This is what the FFA regulation on there. Okay, so moved by Miller, seconded by Gast.
Yes.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Gast?
Yes.
Couser?
Aye.
Peggy?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Merfield?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you all for being here. Other business. Long range planning update. Oh. Okay. We're going to take a couple minute break here. We'll be back at about 25 after. Okay, let's continue. Long range plan update, please. Nothing. Okay. Follow up on items recommended by the Board of Supervisors and the Board of Adjustment, or recommended to them.
Wednesday, the Board of Adjustment will act on the Wonder conditional use permit.
On the which one?
Cornerstone conditional use permit. Okay. That was the church up by Zering. And then before you this evening also, do I have them, Chris, in the LDRs? You received your revised copy of land development regulations that became effective yesterday.
I've been waiting for that.
Also online, too. And it's online by chapter. And if you look at it, just be patient. It does take a while, but it's kind of handy to have it by chapter. Fine?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, yeah. I hesitated because what... On a side note, that what the county is doing is they've entered into a contract with the company to codify all the ordinances. And right now, their question, big question mark is whether or not to include the land development regulations and floodplain management regulations. And my argument to them was, why not include them? And so I think they'll be, when they get done with codification, will be a separate chapter. But what you may see is our whole numbering system have to change, which in the greater scheme of things is for a better good.
Okay.
Is going along with that subject, is the development plan map available on the web?
No, I noticed that today. No,
I
it's
too.
Not. Actually, it is, but there's a code called hidden. Is it hidden? We cannot figure out how to unhide, and the county's webmaster has left employment with Story County. It's there as is the county development plan. A lot of the historical floodplain regulations are there, our flood insurance study, and spent a lot of time this morning trying to figure out how to unhide it.
Would it be on the GIS map?
No, zoning is on there. That might be something we could add to the Beacon website. We haven't really discussed that. I think that's doable. Yeah. We can do that. That'd be a better application for it.
It's just an overlay.
Yeah. What's hidden right now is just a PDF. So unless you know where your property is, you can't type in a parcel number like you can the Beacon website. So I'll get to work with our GS coordinator to try and get that out on Beacon.
That would have been helpful to have been able to pull up
I was very surprised when we found the number of things that are hidden today. It's an interesting code.
It is nice to have that information out there to be able to look it up, searchable.
We'll have to go to Google Maps.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Public comments? I don't think we have any public here. We already gave them their shot. And so, commission comments? Nancy, any comments? Nick? Nancy? Stephen?
Yes. Would it be possible to schedule another zoning commission 101?
Yes, but we were trying to. Yeah.
So, given having that
class so that we know we're creating things for, and we have also the new process with the city name.
We can do that. It will be staff-led. It's not in our budget to do it. I was trying to find a date to have Gary Taylor come back and do it in May, and it just was not... writing was on the wall to find a good date. And we did have, which is unfortunate, we had the funds sitting there that we could have used.
We have probably still have to hand out the previous time to be here.
We won't be able to use the same handout, but we can develop our own.
I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah, it'll probably after probably the September meeting. Just knowing what we might have on the docket.
Anything else?
Is there anything on the docket for next month?
A rezoning. We have one rezoning in.
Hmm?
Yeah, until mail tomorrow morning.
Staff comments? None? Future meeting is, I think it's the first Monday in August.
August 6th.
August 2nd, thank you.
6th.
Yeah,
August 6th.
That's what I said.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said the 2nd.
I heard 2nd.
Is there a motion to adjourn? Moved by Kelser. Is there a second? Murfeldt, all those in favor say aye. Aye.